Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the January 15th meeting of the Board of Directors for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Let's do a roll call, please.
Director Ray Russin?
Here.
Director Shirley Gibson?
Here.
Director Jeff Lee?
I'm here as well. So if you would all please rise and join Mr. Jones in leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. So at this point, we'll do agenda review. Is there anyone that wants to change the order of the agenda? Otherwise, we'll proceed as published. Very good. We'll proceed as published, which takes us to public comments for items not appearing on the agenda, where any member of the public is welcome to come and speak on matters not scheduled on the agenda. Please limit your comments to items within the jurisdiction of this board, and we would give you up to 3 minutes for your public comments. So, good evening.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker. Later, your administrator is going to mention a scoping meeting for Central Coast Blues EIR. I just wanted to underscore that and invite the public to attend. Unfortunately, it is at the same time, same night, as Oceano's regular meeting. So the people of Oceano will probably not be participating. My family's going to split up. I'm going to go to Oceano. Jeff will be up at Central Coast Blue scoping meeting. The reason I ask you all to pay attention and pay attention to that project is the last iteration that was made public of the Memorandum of Agreement framework doesn't do you all any justice. This district gets the short end of the stick. Looks like a lot of money coming out of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, huge debt service, huge operations and maintenance costs. And I was at Arroyo Grande a few weeks ago, and I suggested finding an exit strategy. And I would suggest that you all do that. The project isn't worth what it's going to cost, not to your pocketbooks and not to the environment. So, again, the meeting for the scoping is a week from tonight, so Wednesday the 22nd, 6 o'clock in Pismo Beach.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else that wants to speak on this under public communications? Seeing no one come forward, we'll go ahead and close those, bring it back to the agenda, which brings us into consent calendar, where we have two items, the approval of warrants and the approval of meeting minutes of December 4th. Anybody want to pull an item for discussion? Cool. Then I'll go ahead and open this item up to public comment, see if anybody wants to speak on consent agenda. Seeing no one come forward, we'll go ahead and close that and bring it back for consideration.
I will move that we approve both items 5A and 5B, the approval of warrants and approval of meeting minutes for December 4th.
And I reviewed the minutes and the warrants, and so I will second.
Very good, and I will concur that I did review the minutes and the warrants, as well as watch the tape of the last meeting. We used tape, the video of that, and so I'm prepared to vote on these items as well. So we have a motion and a second. I think these are voice votes, so all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. So those items do pass, which takes us to item number six, which is 6A, action items, contract for wastewater treatment plant redundancy project, administrative services with MKN and Associates. Mr. Gent.
Good evening. Jeremy Gent, district administrator. It's recommended that your board authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for continued wastewater treatment plant redundancy project administration services with MKN and Associates in the amount of $152,196 for the 2020 calendar year. If you recall, in February of 2019, the district brought forward a proposal from MKN to offer these services throughout redundancy. We've been moving forward on an annual allocation of budget and services to move this through. So this is the second year of those services presented before you. And what approval of this this contract will allow is the continued support during redundancy efforts through, well, we've already procured the construction management team, bidding the pre-qualification contract. We need to get a permit for our low-threat discharge on our groundwater. And these tasks are all itemized in this contract that's before you this evening. Some noteworthy items, the contract in February of 19 was in the amount of $105,724. Of that, there were some if-authorized tasks in there, so not all of that money was consumed during the last authorization, and so $87,645 of the previously approved $105,000 were spent. After approval of this, the final 2 years of construction are estimated at $196,000 in this type of services, and my intent would be to continue to bring these items for you on an annual allocation, because these type of tasks that go on over multiple years, what you'll notice is that the scope tends to shift a little bit as these projects get developed and the needs. They're working as an extension of staff, so almost like they're a district engineer staff. And so the roles kind of shift, and so it's advantageous to be able to pause and restructure and rescope and bring these contracts forward. So with that, it ends my staff report, and I'm happy to answer any questions your board might have.
Very good. Thank you for the presentation. Any questions to my left?
The only question I'll ask is the one that I asked you, just so the public knows what I asked. I asked about any increased costs as a result of the frog issue, and so I thought maybe you could just give your answer that you gave me yesterday.
So in relation to the California red-legged frog, we did have to change, modify the ring. We have a contract with Rincon Consultants, our environmental consultant, and the increase in cost on to modify some of the frog work was inside of that contract with an internal change. There was some unutilized money, and it was around, I looked earlier today, it was about $2,600 that had to be moved and reallocated inside of an existing environmental contract that we had with Rincon. So there's no direct impact from the frog in this $157,000 contract that's before you this evening.
Great. Thank you very much. That was my only question.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions to my right?
Yeah. Could you clarify the $196,000? Is that each year, the next 2 years?
So it's total for the 2 years. I don't know how that would split. I could look it up. I think it is summarized, broken out. But so we've spent $87,000. We're planning on spending $150,000 in 2020, and in 21 and 22, we would expect to spend a total of $196,000.
Okay, thank you.
Great. And this is an action item, so I will go ahead and open this up to the public, see if there's any member that wants to speak on this item.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and you mentioned the low-threat discharge permit for groundwater. Do we know how much groundwater is anticipated to be discharged? And with regard to the red-legged frog, wouldn't the real cost of the project come with mitigating any frogs or timing of construction, avoidance, that kind of thing? And is there an estimate for that cost? Thank you very much.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else that wants to speak on this item? I'll go ahead and close it, bring it back, and allow Mr. Gent to respond, if possible, to the two questions that were raised by Ms. Tacker. And I think the first one was, how much groundwater are we expecting to discharge? And then the second one is, any mitigation estimate numbers for impacts by the red-legged frog issue?
So as of right now, we have not quantified the amount of groundwater that could be pumped. That's one of the tasks that we will be looking at. That being said, those are rough numbers, and I can explain why. So you have a contractor who's not yet been identified, and they get to choose their method of work, how they might do their excavations. And so the way that they do their excavations might result in different amounts of groundwater. So really, we can only project a range of groundwater that we might have to pump. And looking at some of those ranges early on, what we realized is that it was more than we'd want to run through the treatment process. We wouldn't want to send all that water through the plant. It's clean water. It's low threat. And so we're exploring getting a permit to discharge that water without running it through the plant, just like any other construction project with excavation and groundwater areas would have to do. And the reason to go with to pursue the low threat discharge through the Regional Water Quality Control Board is that avoids all the pumping costs and the chemical costs we would have to incur to run it through the plant. And there's really no meaningful reason. We've pulled samples of the water. There's no constituents in it that would be of concern, and so that's why we're going with that. But as far as the volume, we haven't determined that yet, but that'll be something that we'll have to prepare the range for when we submit to the Regional Water Board. Now, on mitigation for the frog, there's no cost associated with mitigation for the frog because there's no physical mitigation being done. The take permit is really for relocation of frogs if they're encountered on the site. So the cost is to have somebody authorized to be able to pick. We will already have a biological monitor on site, so no increased cost. It's just getting approval from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to allow that person to pick up the frog and relocate it off the site. That's why there's no direct cost for the mitigation per se. Now, there is a cost because of the delay, but that's a cost to the whole project, and it's not quantifiable in anybody's scope of work or billable hours. So, and that concludes my response.
Okay. Very good. Appreciate those responses. And any additional questions to my left?
No. Nope.
To my right? Very good. Then who wants to take this up for a motion?
I will gladly make a motion to authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for continued wastewater treatment plant redundancy project administration services with MKN Associates in the amount of $152,196 for the 2020 calendar year.
A second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. Let's do a roll call on this, please.
Director Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Chair Lee?
Yes. Very good. Thank you for that, which takes us to item 6B, which is the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. Who wants to go first? Very good. Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Michael Jones, Plant Superintendent. I'm here to present the Plant Operations Report portion of the District Administrator's and Plant Operations Report. The Plant Operations Report is for the reporting period December 1st through December 31st. The district continues to meet its limitations, MPDS permit limitations. All numbers were well within our permit, our limitations. Excuse me. Operations and maintenance projects that operations staff completed are as follows. We troubleshot field sump pumps, checked and marked underground service alerts, welded hinges on stainless steel dumpsters for covers. We had Pacific Overhead Door come in, and they performed maintenance on our fixed film reactor roll-up door, and installed new roll-up door sensors on our centrifuge building, repaired a grease zerk line on our mechanical bar screens, completed our bar fleet annual reporting for our district vehicles, performed confined space entry into the field sump to remove and install a new sump pump, began the cleanup of fixed film reactor storage area. We exercised and inspected our primary clarifier number 2 valves to ensure proper operation. We drained rainwater from all containment totes throughout treatment plants. Cleaned maintenance shop. We painted our influent pump number 3 and motor to prepare for reinstallation. The installation scheduled for tomorrow, and then we'll be at full capacity of our headworks. We continued the inspection of our manholes, troubleshot and partially drained emergency generator day tank. We greased our Amiad O-ring to mitigate the leak. Work orders completed. We rinsed all clarifiers, deragged our primary sludge pumps, inspected our digester vacuum pressure reliefs, performed annual clarifier drive maintenance on all clarifiers, inspected strainer baskets throughout the treatment plant, performed a fixed film reactor orifice cleaning and oil sample for inspection, inspected and performed maintenance on our water champ, and test ran our emergency generator and emergency bypass pump. Some training that staff participated in was on machine guarding hazards, and then we assigned monthly trainings on back injury prevention and anger, violence, and conflict in the workplace, and there were no call-outs this reporting period. And with that, that concludes the plan operations report, and I'll pass it over to Jeremy.
Very good. Now, and before we pass it over to Jeremy, is there any questions on the operations report? I just have really one quick question because there's a word in here that I am not familiar with. What's a Zerk line?
Basically, it's a place where you apply grease. It's basically a fitting, a Zerk fitting, and okay. a grease gun connects to that, and you can pump grease into like your motors or anything like that. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm just something that had not been in my nomenclature for the last couple minutes. So next we'll go back to Mr. Jens and the district administrator's report.
Good evening. So a couple items to cover and updates. So on redundancy project, so the environmental review and the USDA and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service review continues. We did get notified that the Fish and Wildlife Service had completed their biological opinion, which was good news. They haven't finished circulation of it, but that points toward finishing with it, like inside the 135 days, earlier than the 135 days that they're statutorily obligated to respond in, which matches the guidance they gave us early on that they thought they could go faster than that. Now, M&S, the construction management firm, is now actively engaged in the project. We've had our first kickoff meeting with them, and they're going to start engaging in a constructability review of the existing plans to go through those, make themselves familiar with it, identify any risks or problems with the plan sets. So it's great to have them on board. That's a very big step for the project and getting it delivered. On Central Coast Blue, as Ms. Tacker spoke to earlier, the City of Pismo Beach is holding a scoping meeting for the project on Wednesday, January 22nd at 6 p.m. at the City of Pismo Beach Council Chambers at 760 Maddie Road. In addition to that, a notice of preparation of the draft environmental impact report has been issued, and the public review period for that notice of preparation is open now from December 20th of 2019 through February 4th of 2020, and that's at 5 p.m. on February 4th that all comments will have to be received. A couple miscellaneous items. On Thursday, January 9th, a chemical tanker hauling sodium hypochlorite. It's bleach. It's Clorox for, and it's really no different than that. It overturned while en route to the facility. But the incident did not result in any chemical or even diesel fuel spill in the accident. The district is investigating the feasibility of restoring the operation of our cogeneration power system that has been inoperable since installation. About 12 years ago, the district invested in a cogeneration power system where we would utilize waste methane gas to generate heat and electricity to power and heat portions of the plant. That system was never able to fully operate. There were issues with the gas conditioning before it entered the motor and was causing premature failures of the components in the engine. So we're putting together an investigation to see what costs would have to be incurred to bring that back online, or if it would have to be a full replacement. There's some very good promising cost recovery if we were able to move forward with that, because it could offset nearly all of the power needs at the plant and all of the heat needs for the process at the plant. So that's something I would like to see move forward. There's already been a substantial investment, and we need to see if we can utilize any of the investment that's been made. But it's not obvious that that'll be the case. So the outcome of the study may be that we have to replace all of it to get good working components. So
when will that be ready?
Well, we have an initial sit down. By the end of this month was the initial guidance that we provided all the information to Mike Nunley and Associates. And they're going through and getting costs for some other things, and they'll sit down with me and Michael. And this is under the general engineering services that they provide to the district. So as far as the results, we haven't given or established a timeline on when we would bring that back to the board. But I'd like to see it in the next couple months, that we would at least be able to present something where I would come in and say, I would like to budget this in the future years, or I'd like to ask for a budget augmentation right now to spend some money to get this up and running, or attempt to get it up and running again.
And before we leave that topic, is there any debt service that's still being incurred on this equipment?
No, it was debt service was completed, I believe, in November of 2018 on that item. So there's it's fully paid for at this point.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions on the cogeneration? Okay. Some other miscellaneous items we talked about previously, some refunds to Halcyon residents that were incorrectly charged for sewer service. All those checks have been mailed. I believe that you got yours, right? Okay, so we can
confirm. Did you get it before Christmas?
The day before.
Nice. We really trying.
We did try. On Tuesday, January 7th, the district and Cannon Corporation hosted a pre-bid meeting for the primary clarifier drive replacement. That's a bigger ticket item that Mr. Jones has been working on at the plant to get the clarifier drive replaced. And so we had potential bidders on site for a pre-bid walk. And with that concludes my district. Oh, I do have a couple future items. So I've got a future tour coming up later this month on the 30th. Jeff Edwards will be touring the plant. He said he might bring some other folks by and perhaps Ms. Tacker as well. So looking forward to that. A couple upcoming anticipated items. Election of chair and vice chair will be on February 5th. That's the upcoming meeting. I do have all the committee assignments now as from Grover and Oceano, and learned that AG only does committee assignments every 2 years. So that was something I wasn't aware of. And then also on February 5th, we'll have some revisions to the language in the Kennedy Jenks. ESDC stands for Engineering Services During Construction contract, and that's a contract that the district had previously awarded to Kennedy Jenks. USDA has specific language that they would prefer to see up front, strongly prefer. They haven't made issues of stuff that have already been let. They're fine with that, but they asked anything that hasn't happened yet if we could get their language in the front-end specs. So that'll be coming back on February 5th. And then on also on the 5th, we have Moss Levy, our auditor for our financial audit, will be here to issue our financial audit, which is complete. And then on March 4th, I started working on district goals and priorities, and I'll have it'll be on PowerPoint, and I'll lay those out for the board, and we can talk about setting some goals and priorities for the coming years for the district. And that completes my report.
Quick question.
Yes.
We asked some months ago about doing a look back with regard to the billing mechanisms between the three entities. Where does that fit into all the coming up stuff?
So I had an initial meeting with Will Clemens, the new general manager for Oceano Community Services District, and we have our second meeting to discuss the matter tomorrow at 3 p.m., actually. So that work's moving and ongoing.
Okay.
And so Will has some different ideas, and so our plan right now is we'll get together and then entertain Mr. Bergman and Mr. Bronson at a future date to kind of talk about what we think a good path moving forward is. And the intent is to get us all on the same page. And if we can't all get on the same page, we'll explain why we can't, and we'll move forward from there.
Perfect. As long as it's still moving. Thank you so much.
Very good. So any other questions of either Mr. Gent or Mr. Jones? Very good. Seeing none, I will go ahead and open this up to the public, see if anyone wants to make comments on this item.
Julie Tacker again. With regard to the redundancy project, I'm wondering if we have any new dates for possible dates or time frame for the bids. And then any comments from USDA further relating to the PLA, because I think there still was some question of whether or not they've decided that that's a good thing or a bad thing for the district. So I just wondered about those two things.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on this item? Seeing no one come forward, we'll go ahead and close it and see if Mr. Gent can respond to those questions, please.
I'm sorry, Jeff, did you capture the first one?
The first one was, is there a potential new date for bidding? I think was the question as captured.
So there is a new date for bidding, and I'll actually look to Ms. Shields. And so we've been working with the schedule, and so things have been changing, and it's been in and out. So as far as a potential bid date, Eileen, could you speak to that?
Good evening. Eileen Shields with MKN. It is somewhat of a moving target because we are still completing the application for funding through USDA. And U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, as you know, is still reviewing. So until they complete that, we can't complete our environmental package and can't complete the full application. USDA has been reluctant to commit to a time frame for their review. So our schedule has some like estimated dates in it that are highlighted. Our best guess at this point is we'll be going out to bid this spring. And we're actually looking to release the pre-qualification package for contractors, hopefully by the end of this month or early February, in anticipation of USDA completing their review of the application. There could be some delay in there between completion of the pre-qual and the bidding, but that's what we're pushing hard for.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that. And then perhaps that helps frame the response or the question, the response to the question of USDA's any comments from them with regards to the.
So the current status of the PLA or the CWA in regards to U.S. Department of Agriculture is they've decided that they don't need to review it. And so they wanted to see it. They wanted to possess it, and so they do now. But the guidance we've been given is that they don't intend to comment on it at all, and it's a district decision, and that they have no purview over it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for those responses. Did that generate any other questions? Very good. Then we'll go ahead and close that as a receive and file. And that takes us to item number 7, miscellaneous items. Anybody have any miscellaneous items this evening?
There are no miscellaneous items.
Very good. Then we'll go ahead to board member communications. We'll start to my right, Ms. Gibson. Any communications you want to share out of Oceano?
Sure. We are presenting a fire tax informational session on January 25th, Saturday at 3 p.m. at the district office. So if anybody has questions about the fire tax that's going to be decided in March 2020, they can come to that meeting.
Thank you. Any board member communications?
I do have a quick one because I went to Facebook to help get this word out and got a tremendous response. So people are wanting to know the question. The question that is out there is, why is there a lane shut down on Oak Park? And the reason why is because we have a really nice sinkhole developing over there. It is just barely reaching under toward Oak Park. It's actually going the other direction towards the Christmas tree lot. We have a special meeting scheduled for next Tuesday because we need a 4/5 majority to be able to move money at the pace that we need to move it. And we did not have that quorum last night. We only had 3 members there. So we should be moving forward quickly, hoping to get that resolved and hoping to have the patience of people who are frustrated on their way to work. But that's what's going on, and we want to make sure everyone's safe on their way. And by the way, thanks to Grover Beach for helping us. We do have to get over onto Grover's property and helping us get through that quickly. It is our fault, so we're taking care of it, but thanks for working with us.
Certainly. It's a form of regionalism that is becoming more and more prevalent amongst all of our communities, which is much appreciated all around. So I did just have one board member communication in the fact that on our 21st meeting, which is next Tuesday, our normal Monday meeting is moved to a Tuesday, we will be hearing the MOU for Central Coast Blue as part of that board agenda as well. So with that, no other board member communications. We'll go ahead and turn this over to our legal counsel and announce the closed session, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tonight we have one item for closed session discussion, public employee employment pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, titled General Counsel.
Very good. Thank you for that. And I will see if anyone wants to speak under public communications on the closed session item.
Last time. Julie Tacker. First of all, I'd like to know what subsection of the code you're meeting under. I sent that question earlier and didn't see a correction or clarification on just what part of the code you're talking about. An employee appointment, because the district got a letter of resignation, retirement, from Mr. Trujillo last week, and I think the district may be harmed by the 10 months that he worked at Carmel Nakasha at the same time he worked for you. So I want you to be cautious about just throwing a retirement party. As I said, the district may be harmed by the conflict that was admitted by Mr. Trujillo in his staff report of December 4th. The very fact that the district has committed to funding construction costs associated with expanding Central Coast Blue from phase one to phase two. The district hasn't done that. The district better not do that. You are not committing to that. That would take a 218 vote and a whole bunch of other process to get there. But how does a document come out like this if he's representing the district's best interest? You don't serve water. You don't need water. So why would this district fund anything for Central Coast Blue? We've already funded too much through the EIR, the ACL fines. Too much has already been spent from this district on that project. It doesn't benefit you. Doesn't benefit the wastewater ratepayer. So I really want you to ask your council, maybe it's another, this council, maybe it's another agenda item for anticipated litigation. That conflict may have harmed you, and you need to investigate to see just how. 10 months is too long to have worked for Carmel Nakasha at the same time as representing you. So.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else that wants to speak under prior to us adjourning to closed session? See.
Patricia Price, I just wanted to second that. I think it's a good idea to check into what might have happened that was not okay in the last 10 months. Thanks.
Great. Thank you for those comments. Anyone else? We'll go ahead and bring it back and see if council needs to clarify the code section that we're going to be in closed session for, or if this is as written works.
Go ahead. Okay. I talked to Gil about it. Okay, so it would be under section 5, Government Code Section 54957, subsection B.
Very good. With that, we will go ahead and adjourn to closed session, or recess to closed session.